Thank you so much. You saved my life in many ways. Thank you.
Julie Menom, the city council speaker. Can you explain what the city council did, what she did? Not everyone has a city council speaker to free them.
Correct. Backing you up. Yeah, I cannot thank her enough for what she did. I had been denied my asylum claim, and I also had been denied my first habeas. And at that point, I felt that I have no hope to stay in the United States. And then all of a sudden, she called me. I called one of her closest assistants, Miguelina Camilo, and she happened to be right next to her when I called her. So she was actually waiting for that call. And then we had a conversation over the phone, and she told me that I needed to do something, like changing my legal representation, the one that I had at the moment. And she told me that she has spoken with the Bronx Defenders and that she wanted me to retain their services as my legal representation moving forward, which I did, and with the results that we had.
Gwyneth Esser, if you can explain more, you have Rafael granted asylum in the U.S., but the federal government's appealing this decision?
Yes, they are. And he wasn't released initially, even with having been granted asylum, because they stated their intent to appeal. They get 30 days. And so we actually needed a federal judge to order a bond hearing in immigration court so that we could do a bond hearing to get him released.
Mm. Well, can you tell us the stories of people inside? And also, if you heard the protesters outside and what that meant to you?
I did. Stories inside those detention facilities, difficult stories. People is sad. Detainees are sad. It's people that have tried to build a future in this country, people that have complied with the law and everything. They have followed the law. They have paid their taxes. They are raising families and children and whatnot. And all of a sudden, they are stuck in that limbo.
How long did it take you to get your blood pressure medication?
Like 3 weeks.
Can you talk about your treatment in Delaney?
Of course. Every time that you got transferred, it seems like they lost record. They don't keep track of the record accurately. So every time that I got transferred, it will take me like a week or 2 weeks for them to timely deliver my medication. That was the case with Delaney Hall as well. When I was ultimately transferred the last time to that facility, because I have been transferred to that facility, then transferred back over to Brooklyn once, it took them like 2 weeks or so to provide me with my medication. So I take my high blood pressure medication, and that cannot be disrupted like that.
We have been reporting on the horror of the earthquakes in Venezuela. Over 100 Venezuelans deported there hours before the earthquake. It's believed over 100 have been killed. Are you afraid of being taken once again, even with the judge's ruling freeing you?
If I tell you the truth, yes.
And Gwyneth Esser, what can be done to stop that from happening?
I mean, luckily, because he had the judge's order granting his release on bond, I've explained to Rafael that they really cannot detain him again. It would be in violation of the court order, but it seems right now that's not that much solace, because sometimes things are happening that are outside of the law. So in theory, it shouldn't happen, but...
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking this time. I'm sorry about what has happened to you, and we'll continue to follow your case. Rafael Rubio, New York City Council on Police, just released after being detained at Delaney Hall for 5 months, an asylum seeker from Venezuela, and Gwyneth Esser, senior staff attorney at the Bronx Defenders. That does it for our show. I'll be in Kansas City July 17th and 18th. I'm Amy Goodman. Thank you.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program were those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
We're the High and Mighties.
Yeah, and you're listening to CJUM.
Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Welcome back, everyone. This is UMFM 101.5 Zone Weekly Wilers.
Hello, Mother. Hello, Father.
Hello, everyone in between.
Everybody in between my mother and father.
Absolutely. That would be your brother, sister, mother, father, in-law.
Yeah.
Cousins, uncles, Noah in the corner.
Aunts, nephews.
Uncles.
Nieces.
Nieces.
Siblings.
Now, Tyler.
Yeah, it's me.
We're here to talk about a few things today.
And what's that?
First of all, your performance review. You seem to be missing a lot of shows recently.
All right, so I'm just charging up for the good ones, man. You know how it is.
All right, you're hitting me with the Allen Iverson, it's only practice line.
It's only practice. What's Which, only practice,
it's
man?
Only, this is only practice, man.
All right.
But anyways, let's get into the main point of today.
Let's take a dive into the meat of the day.
Right. So often sounding like a water level in a video game and looking like the most 2010s or early internet thing you've ever seen, the genre and its aesthetic was born from internet culture, raves, and a tropical feel.
Mm.
With its viral origins originating from a 2011 tweet by DJ Little Internet, in which he tweeted, "C-Punk leather jacket with barnacles where the studs should be." C-Punk, which we'll be talking about today, was a mainstay for a little while in the zeitgeist of the public. And while flames might have burned very bright, they burnt out quickly.
Because of the water.
And recently have been relit.
Oh my gosh.
But one thing is for certain, they burned very bright.
Blue hot, man. Blue like the sea.
C-Punk, of course, emerged around 2011-2012. It's a hyper-online micro-genre blending early internet aesthetic, oceans, and sea-related visuals in a hybrid electric style. So this would be house, trap, chiptune, vaporware, and footwork. It formed on Tumblr, Twitter, and SoundCloud, where producers traded coral-colored 3D art, dolphin GIFs, and neon aquatic tracks and textures. Musically, it fused 90s rave nostalgia, video game synths, and maximalism, becoming one of the first genres whose identity was equally musical and visual on the ever-growing internet. With the birth of the first C-Punk song, it's very hard to find, but it's clear vaporwave had a huge role in its sound. Here is an early example of vapor sounding sea-like style of vaporwave in its inception. Let's talk about wave step.
Glub, glub, glub.
Thank you. we're back. That was Wave Step, Blank Banshee, also called Stop on Spotify, but Blank Banshee Zero, the album, 2012 release, very influential track in this history. Not only for its influence in the genre of C-Punk, but it's also a founding track in the genre of Wave Trap.
Wave Trap, that's where they trap the waves, man.
Well, that's when they put trap drums on wavy vapor music.
Ah, that makes a lot more sense. So it's not about like those little
crap
chaps.
Wave Trap, Vapor Trap, one of those two.
Right.
But you could see that was the founding father of one of the founding...
Of C-Punk?
Of C-Punk. You could see it heavily circulated on SoundCloud at the time.
Yeah.
But more than that, it was an early access point to the idea and sound of C-Punk.
And that's Wave Step by Blank Banshee.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if they might be still doing it. I hope so. Actually, we know.
Maybe the Banshee's filled in now.
Because they come back. But we can ahead of ourselves.
Whoa.
Let's talk about Pure Space by Unicorn Kid.
Ooh. Is that what's coming up next?
That is what's coming up next. That's a very, very important one as well, because it introduced chiptune style rave music into the scene. We'll talk about it in just a second. Let's take a listen. That's a good one. That's a good one.
And do you know what that would? Do you know which one that was, Kyler? It was Pure Space.
My unicorn kid.
The kid of unicorns.
I'll brainwash the album.
It's a really cool album cover, too. I like that one. It's got like a little dude and he's getting brainwashed or something.
Oh, man. I love a little dude sometimes. They be rocking out.
That wasn't an explosion. That was actually just
me. That was my brain right now.
That was my brain.
It was imploding to explode.
It's
so there was more room.
Brainwashing, you know, it's got negative connotations, but it's probably not bad to get your brain washed every once in a while.
Yeah, your brain be stinky.
I mean, you don't have to do shampoo and conditioner every time, but it's good to just give it a rinse.
How often do you wash the back of your knees?
Back of my knees? About as often as I wash the back of my knees.
Yeah, that's about right.
Anyway, what do we got?
Hold on. Unicorn Kids, Neon Bright, chiptune, meet rave sound, heavily influenced cyberpunk's melodic DNA. Pure Space was a pioneer in infusing the water level in a video game chiptune into the hyper-aquatic, candy-colored aesthetic-coded genre that became cyberpunk.
Well, that sounds delicious.
The 8-bit synth theme introduction.
Yeah.
We got to get into a really, really important one next, Tyler.
And what's that?
This is Bahrain by Ultramon.
Like a Pokemon.
Dude. Off the album, funny enough, cyberpunk, extremely influential, but you're going to have to take a listen before we can tell you all about that.
You are in the mix with the Ultra Demo.
I got the internet going nuts.
Did you like the the like actual 90s rave music infused. You could really hear it in that one.
Something like that.
That was Bahrain by Ultramon, 2013, off the album Sea Punk. Crazy, 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 crazy. But I think it's really important to mention how important...
Please mention it, Kyle.
Ultramon was to the Sea Punk genre. Because widely recognized as the central architect of the C-punk sound.
Like the panoramic, but the panopticon, sorry.
Yeah, more like the Michelangelo, the painter, right? The creator, but not so much the creator, but the head of the table, the tribal chief, right?
Right, right.
And really was the first person to capture early Tumblr aesthetic in it, right? That aquatic synth rave influenced percussion and glossy textures. In other words, it was one of the founding songs and the founding figures of
Ultramon at the head of C-punk. He's like the figurehead, man, the shiphead or whatever.
At the time he was.
Yeah.
And
set in sail for the sea of punk.
I think it's really important to say it really did start a movement with this song where it moved it away from memehood in the eyes of many people and put it into actual serious art contendership.
Mm.
And that's really important. It was the early meme to music pipeline. Ultramon even said they never liked the name C-Punk.
Oh, no?
But they had to stick with it because it kind of stuck around. They wanted to call it Nautical Elf instead, but that just happened.
I think C-Punk's better than Nautical Elf.
Anyways, let's jump into the next track. We got another one by Unicorn Kid showing that it could enter mainstream music, too. This is the infiltration of mainstream C-Punk into music in the mainstream. We have a remix by Unicorn Kid. It's Condane.
Thank you.
This is me. I'm in the sea. I'm punking.
You are pretty punk rock. And of course,
I just won the gold medal for punking at sea.
You punk. You're a little punk. So,
yeah.
Codeine, right? Unicorn Kid remix.
Yeah.
Not much to say except that was a proof that the C-punk sound was entering the mainstream significantly because, of course, Ultra Kid or Unicorn Kid, excuse me, remixed that song, and that was the one we saw there, and infusing like a shot of adrenaline.
I like that one.
A little shot of C-punk, but
like a five-hour energy of C-punk.
If you want to talk about the mainstream, and you want to talk about C-punk,
yeah,
we got to talk about this next track because this was probably the biggest mainstream moment for C-punk. Outside of course, releasing the same year Azealia Banks' song that completely used C-Punk's visuals. Because remember, C-Punk is equally visual that it is music-wise.
Okay, yeah.
But we can only
yeah.
bring you the music here.
It's the double aesthetic.
It's the double aesthetic. It's, but this is, of course, Rihanna's right. Diamonds, which on her SNL performance, she used fully backing C-Punk visuals with dolphins and water and all that stuff, making sure that you knew C-Punk was here.
Radical.
And it was staying.
And nautical.
Let's take a listen.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. When you hold me, I'm alive. We're like diamonds in the sky. I knew there would become one right away. Oh, right away. At first sight, I felt the energy of some rhythm. I saw the life inside.
So shine bright
tonight. You and I were beautiful.
We're not going to play the full song for you because I know you know this song. Everyone knows this song.
What song was that, Kyler?
This was Diamonds by Rihanna off the Unapologetic album.
I know that song.
Oh, yeah. You shine bright like a diamond. My dad used to do that. You just hear him somewhere in the house and go, shine bright like a diamond. That's what he'd say. He'd say, shine bright like a diamond.
Yeah.
And so, of course, really big moment for C-Punk, especially the mainstream peak of it, I'd say, alongside, of course,
what was that?
Banks's music video.
Yeah.
Of course, we're gonna move on, and we have Eco Zones by the one and only
Blank Banshee.
He's back, or they're back. 2013 Eco Zones continues that aqua digital palette, but make sure you remember that Vapor Trap has a place in C-Punk. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
to Roll. That was Blank Banshee's 2013 album, Blank Banshee 1. We've moved to 1.
Oh, from 0 to 1, Blank Banshee's Eco Zones. That's what we were just listening to, folks.
Exactly. Reinforcing the DNA of Vapor Trap in C-Punk.
Yeah. And for those of you just tuning in, this is an episode on C-Punk on UMFM 101.5. The Weekly Wilers.
I'm Kyler with a K, or also known as Kmart, and I am joined by...
I'm Tyler with a T, otherwise known as the Typhonic T because of typhoons in the water. C-Punk?
C-Punk. You can call me Potassium, just like the element.
Whoa.
And if we want to talk about elements, we're going to talk about Mermaid Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
Mermaids Valentine's, yeah... I really don't have much to say except this is a more ethereal C-Punk track and kind of started a little bit of a micro trend. Take a listen. Mermaid Valentine. Good song, hey?
Yeah, it's not February, so we're not going to play it all, but actually, you think Mermaid's Valentine, is that in February, or when do they celebrate that?
I don't know. You know, we'd have to ask a real mermaid. If you're a mermaid, call in UMFM 101.5. You can call us at 204-UMFM 101.5. That doesn't work.
It does not work.
Yeah, so don't call in, but think about it and get back.
I wonder what the area code for Atlantis is.
I think it's...
Blah, 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 blah. Wait, blub, blub, blub. No, blub, blub, blub is right.
Yeah, you have to send it to blub, 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 Alivard at blub, 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 blub road.
Yeah, plus one, blub, blub, blub.
Yeah. So if you're calling in, call blub, blub, blub at blubblublub.com/gmail/blub.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're going to jump into some more Liquid as we step into Liquid, the song by Ultramon again.
Ultramon.
2014. A little bit of a track to show there's a deep, dark sea in C-Punk. A little bit more of a darker vibe for you and more atmospheric entry into the C-Punk genre.
The abyssal layer of C-Punk.
What we're gonna do right here is go back. Way back. Right here, go back. Way back. Back.
look at the sky. All the stars, man, the stars.
Wow.
I just stepped out of the liquid.
Out of the liquid into the frying pan and into the fire, as they would say. Shout out, yeah. Meatloaf. Folks, yeah, so we're going to tell you a quick fun fact about this one, actually. This is one of the songs that made Ultramon, or reinforced them at least, to be the back...
The backbone?
The backbone, yeah. The front runner, I guess you'd say. I got my directions mixed up.
Backbone to the front runner.
Ow! In the C-punk genre, fun little other fact for you.
Oh, yeah?
This was one of the ones that really made people pay attention to them and get a lot of interviews. And so they got so sick of it because they were treating, at least the media was treating it as a joke, that they started making up stuff in these interviews. Like, when they were asked, what does C-punk mean? They're like, whenever we got together, we just throw water at each other.
Classic Ultramon.
But I got to ask you something.
What's that?
Have you been calling blub, blub, blub yet?
Plus one blub, 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 plus UMFM 101 point blub.
Yes. Have you been calling? Because we got an Atlantis love story coming up for you. Let's take a listen. So good. It's so
you
good.
You and I tonight.
Of course, a little bit of a rave intersection with some lyrics this time.
Yeah.
Interesting little one right there. I think it's such a good song because, unfortunately, as we come to the end of 2013 into 2014, we start to see what people on Reddit would describe as the death of C-punk. C-punk is dead. It's run its course. It's no longer cool, apparently. It's kind of fading out. And that was, of course, one of the last big hits of the genre.
Straight to J.V. Jones's locker, man.
Yeah, unfortunately. But remember, I did say, it always comes back. C-punk is dead.
But it's not that you're never going to see punk again, though.
Yeah, C-punk comes around, and it comes around hard.
Yeah.
We're going to jump into, actually, now.
Monkey C. Punk, Monkey from C. Punk.
CM Punk. No.
No.
So we're going to jump at least 6 years ahead now to to the next only notable or first notable track back.
Yeah.
And I think you're really going to like this album. This is Scion Hardcore by Machine Girl off the album Repurposed Fantasy. And people, I say people. Repurposed Fantasies. Punk, Cyan Hardcore. That was Machine Girl Cyan Hardcore off the album Repurposed, Porpoised Fantasies. And very, very interesting track for that one, actually. It was one of the tracks
off of Repurposed Fantasies.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. It actually revitalized the C-Punk scene, if you would, because all the genres that would have started when C-Punk became a thing kept evolving when it kind of disappeared, and it kind of picked it up and gave it real life by introducing itself back into C-Punk. So we saw breakcore infused in there. We saw digicore. We got to see a bunch of other things that are put back into it to bring it back to life and put the ears and the eyes back towards.
It's a diverse little C-Punk ecosystem, just like the sea, man, just like the sea.
And thus began,
In
2020, the micro-revival of C-Punk.
We love our micro-revivals on the Weekly Wileys, man. Music's always coming back. And you're never not going to see C-Punk again.
Right. So let's talk about a shot of adrenaline again into the veins of C-Punk. We have Vapor's Sweet Release. Welcome back. Were you feeling the beat? Were you feeling that energy? Were you feeling that water level in Mario or Mario Sunshine? Were you feeling the groove?
I've never played Mario Sunshine, but I own it. And that's all I have to say about Mario Sunshine. It seems cool, though, man.
I'm shimmering.
And that song, Sweet Releases by Vaporeon.
Right. And once again, that was a shot in the arm for the C-punk genre. Not only did it revitalize some adrenaline to the genre, it also reinforced that long-standing partnership with Vapor Trap.
Yeah, I love that food line that we have going on here for the genre of C-punk, and then this little crossover with Vapor Trap as well.
Right.
Now, holding hand in hand.
We're about to make a little bit of a detour.
Whoa.
And then we're going to come back because I'm talking about some interesting song called Shawazi VIP by Dion Timmer. Let's take a listen before we talk about it anymore.
Returned from the depths of the sea.
The depths of the sea. And if you're wondering, maybe that sounded a little familiar for you, hey? Maybe it did. Maybe you've heard that somewhere. That's because...
But where, Kyler? Oh, where?
You want to tell me?
Do I want to tell you, man?
Yeah.
Well, I've got two spots in the back of my mind right now. Number one, Rocket League. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
And then later, I heard it was somewhere else. Where might that be?
I think... Montana's? Wait a minute, I might be getting that one wrong.
No. That's your drawing of the dolphin.
Was it? Okay, maybe Geometry Dash?
Correct. So now we see it's kind of been revitalized. It's gotten that introduction of a little bit more EDM. A little bit more modern EDM into it. We threw that in there, and we put the backing, a little bit of some elements just sprinkled in there of some C-punk.
Yeah. And that got it to... get to those two pretty big games out there for sure, right?
Pretty
so that's
big.
Like that's some good reach for C-punk now.
All right, we're coming back here to kind of close this off with where we all started.
Right.
I have to introduce something before I start. Taking a 4-year hiatus before completely being removed from the genre, they helped pioneer coming back to music in 2019 with a much more dark sound after moving to Japan. Whoa. The next album they released after said album in 2020 still predominantly incorporated those rich, dark elements in their sound.
Who is
except
Tyler?
For one track. One track that would fade from those dark elements into a much more chippier, some might even say ocean-like sound. The song was called Remember because how could we forget? This was the return of C-Punk's own Ultramon.
Oh my gosh.
Folks, we have Remember by Ultramon. Let's take a listen. Coming out 2020.
Hey. Lily.
Remember.
UMFM own 101.5's own UMFM 101.5's own UMFM
the weekly Wilers
CJ UMFM 101.5's own weekly Wilers, and of course that was Remember by Ultramon.
Thank you, Ultramon. We remember.
We will never forget the beautiful time we got to spend with you. And I love that song so much because it almost has that emotional undertones of, hey, this was me, don't forget.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking to their past, bringing it back together. I respect that. I think it's a fun way of paying homage, like you were saying. Like, this is the one track off of their newer album where they're actually tying back to their roots, right. Going to the sea punk, visiting the sea, you know.
I think I wrote it down here as it's almost like Ultramon is acknowledging and paying homage to their past, telling the listener, do not forget, because I know what I've done. I remember. And I think that's the whole thing about this whole episode is just remember the past and remember all the cool things we had and all the cool things we can have.
Yeah.
Don't forget who you were and who you can be.
Yeah, make sure to be grateful for everything you've done for yourself. That's important.
It really is. So
easy to forget.
And the C-Punk legacy as it We see it in the shining sun of the future.
Yeah.
And we look, this has been our beautiful end, at least for now, of our C-Punk's story.
We'll see you on the horizon, folks. Every Monday, 1 to 2 p.m., 101.5.
Zone Weekly Wilers.
Yeah, keep on wiling in the free world, folks.
We out!
In need of a boost? IQ's Cafe and Billiards has you covered with your favorite Starbucks drink and food from some of Winnipeg's favorite spots, including, oh, donuts? We've got everything you need to fuel your next cram session. Ready for a much-needed study break? IQ's has your back. We've got top-of-the-line diamond pool tables, board games, foosball, ping pong, and more. Open from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Friday, and weekends from noon until 10 p.m. Come chill at IQ's Cafe and Billiards today.
Live music is back at the Fort Garry Hotel. Jazz Winnipeg is pleased to bring weekly live jazz back to the city with Sunday evening jazz concerts in the historic Fort Garry Club Room. Join us each week for intimate performances with some of the most accomplished local and Canadian players. Tickets priced at $18 plus fees in advance or $20 at the door. Music starts at 7 p.m. and full show details and advance tickets are available at jazzwinnipeg.com. Jazz at the Fort Garry is proudly supported by 101.5 UMFM.